steps into it. Pass is caught! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Vikings win it!
Hello, let's go. It's your man, Flip Mozzie. Thank you for spending 15 minutes with me today. We got some time now with the NFL draft being over. All the Vikings draft picks are signed outside of our first round pick, Mike Hughes, but we're not too worried about that. The young guys are all up in Minnesota. We got to see them running around in those classic purple practice jerseys. Vets are working out too. Everything is going as planned. So what are we talking about today? Come on, guys. You know I always got some stuff to talk about. I have a really interesting article here from Justice Mosqueda. We're going to go over that. And I've got a little game on the second half of the pod. Over on Setting the Edge, Mosqueda wrote a fantastic article in the middle of draft season. Now that all that noise has died down, I've been able to look into it. The name of the article is What NFL Contracts Actually Mean. He breaks down the NFL salary cap and contract structure conventions under it with examples. I highly suggest the read. Mosqueda also comes to a conclusion. It's extremely rare for NFL teams to part ways with a player if his dead cap is more than 40% of his cap hit. It makes sense, he backs it up with historical data, and he provides a table with all of the relevant players. That lets us do exactly what we're interested in. Look at the relevant Vikings and their contract situation. We can look at which Vikings still have a low amount of guaranteed money, when that money runs out, and most importantly, how that affects the 2018 roster. When looking at these contracts, which Vikings are in danger of being cut before September? Now, we're only talking about the big movers here, and that means players making at least $3 million on average and excludes players on rookie contracts. Those rookie deals are so cheap that keeping them or cutting them doesn't really move the needle much. This analysis isn't about talent, it's about salary. For the group of veteran Vikings making more than $3 million, it also makes zero financial sense to cut the players which they just signed. 98% of Sheldon Richardson's one-year contract is guaranteed. On top of that, Richardson can earn up to $2 million extra if he gets 10 sacks, $500,000 for making the Pro Bowl, and $1 million more for being named a first-team All-Pro. Kirk Cousins is also obviously safe. He's got his famous 100% guaranteed contract and a 98% dead cap hit. Kirk has no trade and no transition tag clauses. All of his incentives are tied to Super Bowl wins. He gets at least $500,000 for that and can earn up to $2 million extra. Past those two recent signings, we have a handful of Vikings who aren't and clearly shouldn't be released, again, due to cap reasons. Xavier Rhodes, Riley Reiff, Harrison Smith, Everson Griffin, Linval Joseph, Adam Thielen, Mike Remmers, and Latavius Murray are all safe. Of that group, I find Smith and Murray to be the most interesting players. The Hitman signed his contract 2 years ago, but still has a $13 million dead cap hit for 2018. Even if he weren't playing at an elite level, his job would be secure. Tay Train is almost the exact opposite. His restructure in March makes him a free agent in less than a year, but it also locks him in for 2018. 92% of his salary is guaranteed. Barring some Infinity War-like event, he's safe. The running back competition will happen behind him. So now we get to the risky guys. There are three Vikings who are clearly at risk for being cap casualties. Again, this is purely looking at their contract, and if less than 40% of their 2018 salary is guaranteed. Our first possible cut is Andrew Sendejo. Deho signed a four-year contract in 2016, and all of its $7 million in guaranteed cash has already been paid out. This means he can be cut without any cap hit either this year or next year. With a cap of $3.5 million in 2018, he's the 15th highest paid strong safety. In 2019, that number increases to $5.5 million, which would put him in the top 10. Behind him, both Anthony Harris and Jayron Kearse are set to make under $750,000. On the field, Andrew Sendejo is a solid strong safety. It's hard to think Harris or Kearse would be an upgrade over him. Is Sendejo worth $4.5 million more? That's the question. Next up is everyone's favorite tight end, Kyle Rudolph. Rudy has a cap hit of $7.7 million for each of the next 2 years. He's paid like a top 10 tight end, and both men on the roster behind him, David Morgan and Tyler Conklin, are on their cheap rookie contracts. Now, we've seen this story before. Some fans have argued that Rudolph is overpaid, his skill set is outdated, yet he's continuously held off rookie tight end after rookie tight end. Bucky Hodges, couldn't do it. Michael Pruitt, nope. Rhett Ellison, I don't think so. Chase Ford, do we even remember him? The difference in 2018 is that this year is the only year of Rudy's contract where his dead cap is less than his actual cap hit. That makes him more expendable. So will Kyle be a cap casualty? I highly doubt it. Let me just sum it up in one statement. The man wears the C on his chest. He's a two-year team captain, and yeah, that's important. Qualitatively, a captain is an example of what it takes to be a professional in the NFL. Minnesota has been very deliberate and intelligent in their captains during the Mike Zimmer era. Their fixtures, veterans, not a single captain is on their rookie deal. It shows how highly the organization regards Rudolph. He's unlikely to go anywhere, even though cutting him would be financially justifiable. Look at how the other team captains have been treated. Everson Griffin got a big third contract. Terrence Newman keeps on coming back. With Brian Robinson, they're willing to do whatever it takes to keep him on the roster. And it's funny, because that's the third veteran at risk, Brian Robinson. Now, B-Rob just announced he's coming back in 2018, which I thought was obvious. He also mentioned a renegotiated contract on the radio, which is interesting, but we'll get to that. For now, B-Rob is under contract for $3.5 million in 2018, with a $1.2 million dead cap hit. He's financially below that 40% limit, and he's also below Griffin and Hunter on the depth chart. But that doesn't make him expendable. He's also got the C on his chest, and I don't think the Vikings' younger pass rushers, Steven Weatherly, Tashawn Bauer, Jalen Holmes, or Hercules Mata'afa, are ready to step up into that third defensive end role. The DL rotation has to be better this year. We've harped on it many times. Robeson played 56% of the defensive snaps last year. On top of that, the rumored contract restructure is interesting because usually when there is a one-year contract or restructure in the NFL, that deal carries a high amount of guaranteed money. Both Richardson and Murray exemplify this, so we should look into how Robeson's deal is restructured. So that's where we are, guys. I wasn't sure where the steady was going to go. It led us to Sendejo, Rudolph, and Robinson as the most likely cap casualties. But hey, let's be honest, those three are all relatively safe. Now for some fun. Alright, now here's a fun game to play with our Vikings starters. There are some spoilers since it's inspired by the latest Avengers movie, Infinity War. So if you haven't seen it, that's your loss. Here's the game.
You are Thanos. You control the Vikings starting lineup. One snap and 50% of the starters will disappear. They'll be replaced by backups that are already on the 90-man roster.
I call this game the Infinity Snap. It considers talent, strategy, and depth. Which players are the most talented? Which positions are most important? Which roster spots have the most depth? Answer those three questions simultaneously to make your best starting lineup on offense and defense. Now to play, we need to set the starting roster. 12 men on offense, 12 men on defense. For offense, we'll include both slot wide receiver and the second running back spot. For defense, it'll be the third linebacker and the nickel cornerback. So let's do the offense. First, at quarterback is obviously Kirk Cousins. Running back is Dalvin Cook. Second running back I have here is Latavius Murray. Now, there's a reason I picked the second running back instead of the fullback or the tight end, and that's because a second running back sees the field way more than those other positions do. Latavius Murray is a logical starter given on how many snaps he played last year, 37%. Now, with Dalvin Cook hopefully being healthy this year for the entire season, that snap count for Murray could decrease, and David Morgan is at 35%. So second tight end could make sense, but still, I think the second running back sees the field enough. Enough starting rosters in the NFL use a running back by committee that you have to consider who their second running back is. At the receiver positions, we have Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, and Laquon Treadwell. We also have Kyle Rudolph at tight end. Then we get to the offensive line, where I have Riley Reiff, Nick Easton, Pat Elflein, Danny Isadora, and Mike Remmers. If you look at my starting lineup overall, I'm looking at the guys who played the most snaps for our team in 2017. That could all obviously change with the new additions like Kendall Wright and Brian O'Neill, not to mention Tom Compton. But for now, I mean, we're going to have to get rid of six of these guys anyway, so let's just go with that starting lineup and get to the snaps.
Snap number one, Danny Isadora.
Guard is relatively unimportant. We can move Mike Remmers to right guard and start Brian O'Neill.
Snap number two, Laquon Treadwell.
I really like the right signing, and there's no way we can keep all three wide receivers. Laquon is in a make or break year, but he's got to go if we've got to get rid of six.
Snap number three, Latavius Murray.
Mac Brown hasn't done much in his NFL career, but he can hopefully serve as a spell option to Dalvin Cook. Hopefully he can do that effectively. Second running back is necessary, but has a relatively low impact.
Snap number four, Kyle Rudolph.
He's solid, but he's getting up there in age, and David Morgan has shown enough to make Rudolph expendable in such a dire situation.
Snap number five, Nick Easton.
At this point, I'm trying to keep the offensive line intact. Left guard is more expendable than some of the other positions, and we're relying on Tom Compton to start now. He at least has starting experience.
Snap number six, Dalvin Cook.
In my efforts to keep the pass game intact, Mac Brown becomes a starting running back with Rock Thomas doing spell duty. That was painful but relatively easy. The only loss that gets me is Dalvin Cook. All aspects of the passing game have been kept intact. We probably won't be able to run the ball at all. So the offense after Thanos looks like the 2017 Detroit Lions. We've got Kirk Cousins throwing to Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, Kendall Wright, and David Morgan. We've got Mac Brown and Rock Thomas in the backfield. And then we've got an offensive line of Riley Reiff, Tom Compton, Pat Elflein, Mike Remmers, and Brian O'Neill. My takeaway here is that the Vikings have quality offensive line and wide receiver depth. We could probably use a running back to step up in training camp, hoping for either Mac Brown or Rock Thomas to get the job done. Now for the defense, where we have Daniil Hunter, Linval Joseph, Sheldon Richardson, and Everson Griffin. Our linebacking core is Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks, and Ben Gideon. And we've got five defensive backs: Xavier Rhodes, Trey Waynes, Mackenzie Alexander, Harrison Smith, and Andrew Sandejo. I can already tell this is going to be tough.
Snap number one, Andrew Sandejo.
Love Dejo, but we have Anthony Harris behind him, and he's looked good in limited duty over the years.
Snap number two, Mackenzie Alexander.
In terms of the starting lineup, Mike Hughes' arrival makes Alexander expendable. This is more about the depth at cornerback rather than my views on who wins in the camp battle against Hughes and Alexander.
Snap number three, Ben Gideon.
I have to kill the position that doesn't see the field that much. Kentrell Brothers has that four-game suspension, so we'll have to slot in Eric Wilson, a special teams ace.
Snap number four, Trey Waynes.
Not sure if this is avoidable with the need for a pass rush and the lack of linebacker depth. This kill promotes Mike Hughes to CB2 and Terrence Newman to nickel corner.
Snap number five, Sheldon Richardson.
We just signed him. Man, I hate this exercise. Richardson will have to be replaced by Jahleel Johnson, who barely saw playing time last year. Jahleel will have to step up.
Snap number 6. Danielle Hunter.
I'm so sad. Sure, you could kill Griffin instead, but that would be just as sad. Either way, we're asking for one more big year from Brian Robinson now. I hate Thanos. The final defensive lineup has the core pieces in place, but I feel the lineup's not elite in any one area, which may not be enough. We need above-average play from the youngsters Johnson, Wilson, and Hughes. We'd be asking old-timers Robinson and Newman to hold on for one more year. It would be Robinson, Joseph, Johnson, and Griffin along the defensive line. We keep the Bash brothers together at linebacker while adding Eric Wilson. And then we've got Rhodes, Hughes, Newman, Smith, and Harris in the secondary. My main takeaway for the defense is, yeah, we've got a deep secondary, and it seems like we've achieved the defensive line rotation we've been aiming for, but we're pretty thin at linebacker, especially with the Kentrell brother suspension. Who's going to step up in training camp at the linebacker spot? That's got to be a main storyline. Anyways, I'd love to hear who you would Infinity staff off our starting lineup. I'm always on Twitter, so come at me. That's it. Thanks for listening. Time to shut it down.